Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Well, as you will immediately notice, this is not Dr. Gene Youngblood. You are still with Let's Face the Issues, but sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood is Greg Youngblood. I'm his son, and I refer to him as the Dr. Youngblood as the black robed patriot. So you'll have a halfway show today. We'll see whether or not you enjoy this. If you're interested in joining in, dial 904-831-0917. The world is absolutely astir. There are so many things going on. This is going to be an open line Monday, kind of. We have a series of subject matter that we can cover, but we're going to have to discuss the things that are in the news right now today from a biblical perspective. Certainly, you can't turn a channel right now on your TV set. Pick any channel, turn it on. Within 5 minutes, you're going to hear about a little game that was played yesterday. Matter of fact, churches across the United States had early services or no services and then deferred to this thing they call the Super Bowl. You know, some would say it's bread and circuses. You know, that was the character in the Roman era that talked about the bread and circuses of the Roman Empire. That was a diversion, a distraction for the masses, you know, so they wouldn't focus on all the misdeeds of government. We could talk about the halftime flesh show that I understand was a part of that. And I'll confess to you folks, most years I record it and I start the game like 15 or 20 minutes afterwards, and I fast forward through the game and I watch the commercials because sometimes the commercials are really great. This year, though, I understand that commercials that would have been great, including a nice pro-life commercial, got completely bumped. We're not even going to put them in the lineup. We're going to put other things in the lineup, but we're not going to let you put that in. And a commercial for veterans left out of the lineup. Kind of ask yourself why. But, you know, I don't want to focus on all the negatives. You know, let's focus on the credits, you know, how this game played out for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, if we step back in time just a little bit, the Kansas City Chiefs won that AFC championship, a 35-24 game against the Tennessee Titans. By the way, don't let my communication today make you believe that I'm some sort of a sports fan, that I know all this stuff. I watch the news, folks. I know what's taking place. I was very thankful to see that after that AFC championship, Lamar Hunt takes that trophy, and he takes to the microphone, and he says, first off, I want to congratulate Coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and all his teammates for an incredible performance today. Then he went on and said, I want to thank the Lord for blessing us with this opportunity. Now, that's the right focus, folks. That is awesome. You know, here he is. He's met, you know, reached, if you will, the pinnacle of success after a 50-year dry spree. The pinnacle of success as the sports world views it. That's awesome. That's awesome. But he took the opportunity to give the credit. I'm sorry, that was the AFC championship. I don't know if they've been to the championships in the past 50 years. But when they made it to the Super Bowl, it carried on. You know, that victory that they experienced against the 49ers, it was a comeback victory. That was awesome. You know, 10 points behind, and they come back 31-20 at the end. But what is said in this, there's a Christian Post report that came out right after the show. It's great the focus that is shifted here, that's appropriately focused on here. It says, what about the game will be remembered long after the score is forgotten? Patrick Mahomes was always about the other person. The Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes is now the first quarterback in NFL history to win a Most Valuable Player Award, a Super Bowl, and a Super Bowl MVP by the age of 25. That's awesome. Now, if I step back in time, we step back in time, you remember Tim Tebow on the ball field. And when that boy with the University of Florida, man, I love this guy. He took the opportunity to share Christ. How did he do it? He put John 3:16 in the blackout under his eyes. You know, as believers, we ought to use every opportunity. The Great Commission, when it says go and tell, it's as you're going, tell. Well, folks go out onto that ball field and they play ball. And even on that ball field, they can share Christ. When Tim Tebow stepped out on that ball field and he had John 3:16 in the blackout and that underneath his eyes in that championship game, do you know what happened, folks? That day, millions of people clicked into their Google, John 3:16, and they looked at, what does this mean? What does this mean? He put the question out there for folks to look for the answer, and many folks, for the very first time, they read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What a witness! And what did he have to do? Just put John 3:16 in his blackout. So we get back to these folks, Patrick Mahomes, the fact that he focused on others, it says he was always about the team, always about his teammates, always about the other person. Mahomes has been following Jesus since coming to faith in middle school. Others, focusing on others. What? I mean, this is in the Super Bowl. This is great. And right on the heels of this, we have this wonderful testimony. In the midst of all the hedonism, in the midst of all the world, all that the world messes up and tries to twist and turn everything about your life, we have a witness being shared. If you think about others, General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. You step back in time, that man's focus was on others. The Salvation Army has always been focused on others. General William Booth in 1910 was not able to make it to the convention that year. And he had the opportunity to share a message. And you know, these days, we think about sending an email or a text. We're going to have a video conference. In 1910, those were not the options. Matter of fact, they say the three fastest forms of communication in that era was telephone, telegraph, and telewoman. So he did the telegraph, and it was pay by the letter, by the character. And what did he do? He thought about that for a moment. What message can I send to all these folks gathered at the convention? I mean, this is a message from the founder. What message can I send? Short, sweet, concise. I know that's not always the way you get it. But he thought, pondered, and finally, he came out with just those few letters that spelled out others. And the telegraph man showed up at the convention, stepped out onto the podium, and delivered the message. And everyone with bated breath waiting to hear what would General William Booth have to say. What's the message? And the message was others. You know, in the scripture, we see Jesus when he's when those attorneys tried to corner him, twist him every which way but loose, and confuse issues. They said, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus answers them, well, here they are. The first being, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And the second is like unto the first, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the message of others. Think about it. If those were the only two things we ever did, we wouldn't have a whole lot of fights, argument, discontent throughout the country and around the world. Focusing on others, you know, as you go further down that list in the Christian Post article, Chiefs punter. By the way, let me interrupt again. If you want to join the conversation, we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to go right down a list, everything from Groundhog Day to the block pro-life ad to the coronavirus. To the election coming up November 3rd, 2020, to the Iowa caucuses. My goodness, do we not have a lot going on right now? The Iowa caucuses are tonight. The John Kerry, Lurch, maybe entering this this race for president here at the last minute, in the Democratic primary at least, the State of the Union that comes up tomorrow evening, the impeachment that we probably won't get this final vote until Wednesday, assuming they don't call in more witnesses and turn it into a Kavanaugh fiasco, Hunter Biden, Burisma, China, the connections with Kerry. We're going to talk about a lot of things. So if one of those strikes you as being interesting, give me a call. Let me know what you think. 904-831-0917. Okay, back to the Chiefs punter. This Christian Post article, I mean, it is fantastic for revealing the real great positives going on there with the Kansas City Chiefs and their wonderful victory even last evening. The Chiefs punter, Dustin Colquitt, I guess I'm pronouncing that right, has been active in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Athletes in Actions. He said, as a Christian, I think God has given me the platform to say, hey, I followed you. I've allowed you to do a lot of things, and I need you to speak my name. And that was Tim Tebow's message. That is Tim Tebow's message. That's now the Chiefs punter's message, Dustin Colquitt. Proud of the man. Any man that will take the opportunity to unashamedly, that's the way we ought to all do it as believers, unashamedly pronounce the name of Jesus Christ, is phenomenal. By the way, I feel sorry for all the 49ers fans out there. I've got some folks that immediately on their Facebook page, it's Go 49ers. And, you know, it's always a letdown. And I think many times folks will get hung up on those, on the games and the scores and all. We need to realize that it's just one more tool, one more opportunity for the believer and one more distraction. You know, again, bread and circuses for the rest of the world. Okay, going on, Chief CEO Clark Hunt, this is after this game's over with, but you know, through his life, it says he's been very public about his commitment to Christ. At the end of the game, after the Super Bowl win, he said, I want to thank the Lord for the blessing, our family, with all these incredible people who have helped us bring this championship home. But keeping the Lord first, I want to thank the Lord. By the way, hey, among other things we can discuss today, some of the commercials. I mean, like I say, I really enjoyed watching the commercials. Last night, my heart wasn't in it. You know, after hearing that the ad was bumped and they couldn't run that wonderful ad with survivors of attempted abortion, I'm thinking this is a great, beautiful pro-life message. I watched the ad, and it was one person after another that had survived abortion and were there to tell you their story. And, you know, I think the refrain over and over was, look me in the eyes, look me in the eyes. That's a great message. I don't know why that was considered unacceptable to the censors. By the way, it's amazing how censorship is completely fine if it's folks on the left censoring out conservative views or Christian views. If you happen to be on the right and anything's mentioned about censorship, oh my goodness, you're a book burner. You know, you'll get all sorts of names thrown at you. However, in the midst of all the commercials last night, I did hear a couple, and these are after the fact. There were ads for political candidates. There's an ad for Donald Trump. And apparently it focused on Alice Johnson. You know, she was the lady that had been sentenced to life in prison for a nonviolent drug offense. I think it was her third offense, so it was third strike. You know, they go away for life. And that's happened not just once or twice, but many, many hundreds, if not thousands of times across the country. And, Trump pushed this legislation that allows for a second chance. And there are pros and cons. There are pluses and minuses to that whole thing. However, when you look at the life of Alice Johnson, you go, my goodness, this woman really may take this opportunity and run with it and enjoy this second chance in her life. A lifetime that would have been gone is now restored. By the way, that lifetime gone, when you put somebody in jail for life, and it's not a when I say not a serious offense, I want you to understand, you know, any offense is serious, but we still measure things in this world. You know, a person hasn't died, a neighborhood hasn't burned down kind of thing. You have an offense that many folks would say, well, that's a victimless crime. You know, when drugs hit the community, it doesn't become victimless. However, as we measure things, you go, that's not on the scale of things the most important thing. And when you sentence that person to life in prison, do you know what really happens? You sentence the community the taxpayers in the community to provide for that person's every need, daylight to dark, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for the rest of their life. I don't know if Charles Manson is still alive. When he pulled his helter-skelter chaos in 1969 and he and his band killed the Tate and LaBianca family members out in California, I guess, they put that man in prison. They were going to put him to death, and I guess that was challenged. The death penalty went away in California. I mean, here we are. You fast forward in 1969, 1970. We're, my goodness, 30, 40. We're 50 years in. Is he still alive? Are we still paying? Are California taxpayers still paying to keep that man alive? Now, don't mistake me. That man should not be released on a second chance thing. But I am convinced if an offense is so serious that it should cost a man or woman their freedom for the rest of their natural life, that offense is so serious it ought to be one to take a person's life. Because when you sentence, again, you sentence a person to life in prison, or well, it won't be life in jail, it's life in prison. That's the way they work. It's more than a year in most jurisdictions. You're going to prison, not going to jail. But when you send them away, we, the taxpayer, we bear the burden. The victims of the criminals bear the burden to keep the criminal alive and in good health. And as crazy as this world has gotten in some prison systems, you have individuals saying, well, I need a sex change, and they'll consider that medically necessary procedure. So your tax dollars, even though you may be completely against it, as a believer, your tax dollars go to pay for that. We have guys that have said, you know, as a transgender or transvestite or whatever, I need to be housed with the women. You can look up the stories, keyword search that. I won't go into all the gory details. Those stories have hit the news. We have paid to put guys in with gals in the prison system, and it's the insanity of the system. But back on Alice Johnson, I was thankful to hear the snippet from that commercial and a life restored. I hope that sentiment is played out in life after life after life of those given the second chance. Again, if you'd like to join in on the discussion, if you have a question or comment, dial 904-831-0917. Come join the discussion. But again, there's a lot on the table today. That ball game, interesting. The blocked pro-life ad. The coronavirus. If you're paying attention, the coronavirus is really, I mean, it's shifted gears. It has scared, scared people around the world. You look at Wuhan, and the city has gone into shutdown mode. They are closing airports. They're closing ferries. They're closing all over the region. Wuhan, video I saw of the area, it was like a ghost town. Dried up. Nothing's happening. Everybody's scared. It scared the market. Chinese, what do they call it, the Shanghai? You have their Shanghai Index A and B and their composite. The Shanghai dropped like 9%, boom, all at once. I mean, if our Dow did that, you'd see 2,700 points. That's what it would look like. I mean, obviously, folks that don't watch the Shanghai, wouldn't understand a 9% drop. But a corollary, a good comparison would be if we saw our stock market, our Dow Jones Industrial Average, all of a sudden drop 2,600 or 2,700 points. Did we get an upset? Yeah. Friday, the Dow dropped 603 points. Man, that's huge. But it's not 9%. Regardless, there's fear in the air because of the coronavirus. They say right now, today, this morning, when I woke up, 26 countries have been affected by the coronavirus. Most of it is still Asia. However, it's everywhere. Everywhere, mostly everywhere, 26 countries. The United States has it in spots here and there. It seems like each day we hear a few more. And I kind of wonder if we're getting all the truth out of China today. With 17,000 reported infected, 17,000, that's what they're reporting. Now, do you trust the Chinese government? Are we getting the full report on that? They say 180 cases are outside of that region. 180 cases. And, of course, you're having a few die. I don't know what the total death toll is as of today. But is this the black swan event of our generation? you know, a black swan event, something that you don't anticipate, but it has major ripple effects that go out from it, major life-altering effects that go out from it. 9/11 was a black swan event. Wasn't expected, but, you know, 19 fellas took over four airplanes and created complete chaos and havoc. It changed the world irreparably on that day. We literally still, all these years later, are dealing with the ripples from that single event. So is this a black swan event? I mean, we're, as a nation, we have $23 trillion in debt, over $100 trillion in offline debt, you know, obligations that go out before us that we've passed on to our kids, our grandkids, and our great-great-great-great-great-grand. It'll never be paid back, folks. But the question is always, when you see events like this, is this going to be the event that brings the house of cards to the ground? You know, let's picture a 23-mile-high stack of cards, $23 trillion, 23 miles, okay? How do you have to put that stack of cards together to keep it from blowing down in a strong wind? What happens when that strong wind comes along? Is this the black swan event? Is that, will enough fear be spawned from this to shut down things around the world? By the way, you step back in time. We had nuclear bombs. The biggest supplies, the biggest cache was in the United States and in Russia. We had these nuclear weapons pointed at one another. And the threat was always of mutually assured destruction. You know, Russia isn't going to launch one toward us because they know if they do, we're going to launch all ours toward them. And yeah, they're going to destroy us and we're going to destroy them. Maybe the bombs or, you know, the missiles will cross one another in midair. That was the old school, you know, big scare. That was the view, and that was somewhat the strategy. Matter of fact, all these little tin horn dictators, they always want nuclear weapons, it seems like, because they think maybe they can join the gang, and all of a sudden you won't touch them because they'll blow you up. I mean, those mullahs over in Iran, they're always, you know, death to America, death to Israel. Those folks had their navy, you know, more than half their navy sunk in about 30 minutes when they really crossed sabers with us years ago. Do they think they would fare much better today? Nonetheless, it was at one time a known standard, mutually assured destruction. So we wouldn't cross sabers with one another internationally. Today, we have a different world, and folks need to realize it. We have mutually assured economic destruction. We are joined with every single marketplace in the world. You know, right now, as I said, I told you that the Dow Jones was off 600 points on Friday. Today, it looks like it's up 143. Well, it was up, you know, 300 some odd points just a little while ago. What makes the market move? You know, people say, well, there are more buyers than sellers on up days and more sellers than buyers on down days. That sounds good, but there are, the entire marketplace is moved by events like the coronavirus. It's moved by events like trade policy. What happened when we went down the road of sanctions and tariffs against China? You know, you had folks calling Donald Trump all, you know, everything but a good boy, because all of a sudden that upset the marketplace. You know, I think that was good, at least negotiating with you know, currency manipulators and technology theft that was taking place over there. I think it was good that we took that on. However, it moved the market. And back to my question. The question is this event, the coronavirus, is it the next black swan event to move markets around the world negatively long term? Or is this a blip on the radar? Will we be speaking about this 30 days from now? Keep in mind, we've only been speaking about it a few days, and we're up to 17,000 reported cases. By the way, you may have read, it's been said, and I think I heard it first with Trish Regan over the weekend, Wuhan, China, supposedly has two virology labs, two biological weapons laboratories. Just depends on how you want to view it. I'm sure, you know, if the Chinese media is putting it out there, they're just labs. But it's understood that the head of one of those labs was actually studying this coronavirus. Is the coronavirus something naturally occurring? Is this something that just, you know, mutated and we just have a worse form of the flu or something? Is that what it is? Or was it manipulated? Did they, in the lab, work on this thing? You know, supposedly the view was these snakes and one of the bats. You know, they're eating snakes and bats in this wet market. I think somebody referred to it as a seafood market. But this wet market, this market where you go and buy food from all the street vendors selling snakes and selling bats. And that's where they claim we got this from. However, this head researcher at one of these two, we'll say biological weapons laboratories, and if you're from China and you want to correct me, go ahead, call me, correct me. Biological weapons laboratories, they were working on the bats and the analysis of bats being able to harbor this coronavirus for a period of time, and I think the view was they're carrying the virus but not symptomatic, but they were still carrying, spreading. And that seems a lot like it was focused on something that could turn into biological warfare. The question mark is, if it was done in a lab, did it get out by accident? Did somebody walk out the door with this? Or was it turned loose? I mean, you know, as you look at tin horn dictators around the world, and even the big dictators, your authoritarian regimes and your power brokers in places like China, did they look at the board and go, you know what, let's just shake this thing up. Let's see if this gets out, gets in the heavy population centers in the United States, if maybe it upsets their apple cart enough to where we can gain some benefit, some upside. You know, their market being so upset, like I said, the Shanghai moved about 9%. They poured liquidity into the marketplace today. That's another factor. You know, we think about black swan events. We think about the debt load carried by our country and other countries. I mean, we're off the charts. Again, $23 trillion online debt, over $100 trillion offline debt. But we think about debt burdens. What about the Federal Reserve and its component of manipulation? For years now, they have manipulated our marketplaces and our currency. The Federal Reserve has been buying up debt left and right as Treasury issues debt, and they go to a debt auction. The Federal Reserve will scoop up 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. I've seen 60% of a Treasury auction purchased by the Federal Reserve in order to keep rates down. I can't do the full macro equation for you right now over the radio, but if we were sitting together in the same room with whiteboards all the way around, I could walk around that room and fill the whiteboard up with the way these pieces fit together. And it's scary when you look at it and realize the manipulation that's taking place. Let me give you a little tidbit of information. If we step back in time to 1981, we'd just gone through the chaos of 4 years of Jimmy Carter. We went through the Iran hostage crisis. We went through an energy crisis. My goodness, we had kind of like all the news in the world today. It was chaos. It was chaos, and there was a debt load that was sitting out there. It was still less than $1 trillion, but around $1 trillion. And the interest rates naturally moved up, because anytime you carry more debt, if you're carrying more debt personally, your interest rate's going to go up. The more dangerous you look, a higher interest rate you're going to pay. Well, the interest rate on the treasuries averaged around 16%. I mean, today we're looking at 2.5%. That didn't happen naturally, folks. That's something that the Federal Reserve has worked and worked and worked to keep down interest rates as related to our national debt. It makes the debt look sustainable. But I have news for you. It's a manipulated debt and a manipulated interest rate. If that interest rate starts moving, we very, very quickly could get – I mean, if it made it all the way to 16.26%, which is what it peaked at in 1981, every penny the Federal Reserve takes in could not pay the interest on the debt, much less the debt itself. So we have a lot of interesting things taking place in the world today, and we're going to try to put these pieces together. If you'd like to call in and join us, we're about to go to the – top of the hour break, there we go, for a station identification. But call us, join the conversation at 904-831-0917. We do appreciate you and look forward to the chat.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.